Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Today we have on with us two prominent guests dedicated to the cause and pivots of the community, Dr. Mustafa Ansari of Georgia and Chinupa Gulhani of South Dakota. We speak often and understandably so of the injustices occurring in the U.S. However, many fail to realize or do not want to accept the fact that there is inequality and higher levels of injustice being done to the people of color in this country, subjecting them to poverty, lack of employment, beatings, death, and even imprisonment, resulting in mass incarcerations, life and life without parole sentences, death sentences, which is unheard of in most every country in the world. Dr. Ansari, Chancellor at the Afro-Descendant Institute of Human Rights, and Chinupa Gulhani of the Strong Heart Warrior Society and Community Organizer, in addition to Madeline Colburn, who is a strong advocate for the incarcerated out of Missouri, and she also at one time ran for governor in 2008. We want to welcome the three of them on today, because they are very beneficial to what's going on in this country. They can give insight into the injustices and the inequality that occurs in this country. So I'd like to introduce them now. We'd like to start with Dr. Ansari. Are you on with us?
Yes, good evening, sister. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And I'm looking forward to speaking with your guest and with you about these important issues.
Okay, we're going to introduce Chinupa Gulhani is from South Dakota. He's a strong warrior, and he's going to be talking a lot too. Chinupa Gulhani, are you on with us?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me on today's show. Thank you, sister. Love y'all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we're going to have you too. We're going to have all three of you really speaking about the work that you do and about the things that you have been doing to bring awareness. Madeline Colburn, are you on with us? Madeline Colburn? Maybe not. Okay, so why don't we start with you, Dr. Mustafa Ansari. Can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing? You are the dean.
I'm here, Leona.
Okay, Madeline. I'm going to be introducing you as well in a minute. So we're going to start with Dr. Ansari and then work our way to Chinupa Gulhani and then to you, Madeline. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sisters and brothers. I am an international law professor and lawyer. I matriculated out of the University of Santa Clara in 1983. I've been in this field for quite some time. I've been in the legal field for quite some time. I was a professor for some time of political science. And then as a leader of a series of legal clinics in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I got interested in this field of study of what and who we are through reading Dr. Adams and Sotoma's book, They Came Before Columbus, because during the process of really engaging the international law perspective of what we're facing here and how to remedy it, it's a very personal thing that deals with our lineage and the lineages of the people that were here before the colonial people. We look at it totally different, and the remedy is different because the injustices and things that we're suffering, we believe is because we are not in the right structure, because we have the right to battle any harms that face us. injustices that face us, because there's a status that we all hold as being people of this land, of being native to this land, being Native Americans. And under the law, Afro descendants, and that's the name of our institute and the name of our nation, National Tribe, which is numbers in over 150,000 people who registered as Afro descendants pursuant to the Santiago Declaration that allowed all of the Africans who were caught up in the slave wars to have a status of being able to, of land rights, of the land that they preliminarily have lived on, to have that ownership, as well as authority over it to have self-determination. So out of this perspective, we have the same and similar rights to Native people in the Americas. And so we think that we can resolve these problems of non-recognition of our identity, which is the number one problem for unregistered, and I know the chief of unregistered tribes, as well as the Afro-descended people who have an anonymous status, and because of that, unable to remedy his status under the simple minority clauses. So the work that we're doing now is we teach human rights courses, introduction to human rights, human rights and indigenous people's land and resources and claims, Afro-descendant status, self-determination. We have a class coming up for how indigenous people have the right to participate in society, they have the right to seat in the city council. So we have a full curriculum. So a lot of these issues that we speak out of, we try to practice in. So we have a nation where we are now moving toward food security and all the infrastructure things that we need, as far as, and then as well as recognition from the United States, because we think that the remedy for these ills really can't and have not been capable of coming from the executive and the traditional Republican or Democratic Party. So we think that, you know, we can push it in a different structure with a view of international unity. And that's basically what we have been doing for the last, about the last 4 years now. And so I'm pleased to be here in the company of my fellow panelists and Sister Leona Brando. Thank you.
I want to thank you. And I'll tell you, this is an honor for me to have all of you on with us, because we've been trying to unite. It's time that the blacks, the browns, the reds, the beige all come together. It's long overdue. And it's always been a united we stand and divided we fall. And what's going on in this country today is it's unreal. It's unreal. We have prisons, mass incarcerations, with the people of color mainly. We have mass incarcerations which no other country has. I've been interviewing Miriam Jacobs from the Netherlands, Fran Kurz from Germany, all these others from other countries to find that they don't have mass incarceration. They don't have the racism that goes on in this country. They
right.
don't have the hatred
right.
that goes on in this country. They don't have any of the things that go on in this country. And this is called the United States of America. The United, and it's so divided. I've never seen a country so divided as this country has been. So having all of you on is a blessing to me, because it's time that people of color started to come together and started to try to eliminate all this stuff that's going on in this country. Because this country was built on the bloodshed and tears of people of color, third world countries. The gold, the diamonds, the oils, everything from other countries. We should be blessed with all of these things. We should be talking about the good that these other countries have done to build this country. Instead, we have people taking advantage of people that they do not need to, or countries they do not need to. So I'm thankful that you're all on. And Chinupa Guhamani, can you introduce yourself and let people know about you and what you do?
Yes, I will. And thank you for allowing me to come on. And thanks to the brother Mustafa for introducing himself and what his work is. I also am, an individual that's been struggling with human rights more on an independent structure. My name is Chinupa Guhamani. I represent the Strong Heart Warrior Society of South Dakota, and I'm also a spokesperson for the 1840 independent structure area, and I'm also a spokesperson for the 1868 Fort Laramie Treaty Delegation created by the late Oliver Red Cloud and the late Russell Means and Frank Fusco and many other, individuals that have been struggling to remain this fight very open for people that are faced with, continuation of, illegal human rights being, abused upon them from the state, federal, local governments, and even tribal governments and counties. And so as an activist and a catalyst that changed things, I bring a lot of this virtues and work to the forefront to challenge people that think they do have authority, but look at the general misconception how the statutes are passed through legislation that bear, appearances of law, when in fact there is no law because everything is all, repugnant to the Constitution, where it makes everything null and void. But most of the people today in 2021 don't have that atmosphere to express more of that intellectual communication, because the general rule that Americans follow, they forget one thing. When Finesse Grucci gave them the name America, America is broke down, and it's a seven-letter word. And we can get to that later on in the show. But it's an honor to be here. I'm really ready forward to whatever we have to do, not merely because of what's going on, but because of the continuation of what's going on. And that's what's really offensive to many other people that believe in freedom of independence. And I'll will it back to the sister. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you again, Chinupa. I really appreciate this. And also, Madeline, can you introduce yourself? And then we're going to check in with the callers that we have, because the board is starting to light up. Madeline, can you introduce yourself
as
well?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thank you. Welcome.
My name is Madeline Coburn. I'm born and raised in Missouri. I've been working in the Missouri Department of Corrections for about 28 years now as a chaplain. From general population to death row inmates, and it caused me in the process to find out how the workings of the prisons actually work when it comes to the general fund, the canteen, basically the mismanagement and appropriation of the monies that is being stolen from the prisoners. That's how I totally got involved with some of the families dealing with the securest technology and the phones. Through that situation, it led me to start working with some of the inmates that were considered wrongfully convicted, that had the Missouri Innocent Project behind them and some other nonprofit entities that were against the injustices. In that process, working with these families, I have become targeted within my state, of course, because of an advocate speaking out against the wrongful convictions. As of now, right now as we speak, I'm still considered deceased in all government records. I don't know how this has happened. I have been trying to clarify my status in regards to being a living woman. Basically, how this problem happened, it was through the Social Security Administration Death Master Files. And so having this conversation, when Leona shared with me that you guys were going to be on tonight, I definitely wanted to join in to not only get more information from Dr. Starry and what your organization is doing, because that's the path that I'm on now, finding my roots and understanding due to my false death. This is what it has occurred. I've lost all civility due to the maximum dementia law that has been established, to where the hardship is just unreal. So this is definitely something that I'm interested in and moving forward. I found out through my discovery there are 1.8 million of us that this has happened to, where our Social Security numbers has been truncated. That causes us to become deceased, where we can't vote, we can't do anything. So that's what I've been fighting in this regard, and helping some of the families I've come in contact with.
It's really ironic. I mean, this, I couldn't believe when I heard this, but Madeline, and this has been years, that she has been classified as deceased. And if you go on the internet and you type in Madeline Colburn deceased, you're going to find that this is something that she has been going through for years. But these are the things that, and someone had said, I believe it was Marianne Jacobs from the Netherlands, had mentioned a secret societies that go on in this country. There are many, many secret societies that the public is not even aware of. And some of these things, I believe, have something to do with Madeline's situation. And it also has a lot to do with what's going on in the with the inequality and the injustices that are going on amongst the people of color here. But I'd like to first, again, find out who the callers are that are coming in. Could you please state your name? 1440?
Bryce Inwood from South Dakota.
Welcome, Bryce. And 5337?
Real Salam, calling from the state of Michigan.
Okay, welcome aboard. We're going to be we'll be asking you questions along the way. If you have any questions at all for either Dr. Ansari, Chinupa Luhamani, or Madeline Colburn, feel free to step in and jump in and ask. So this is really awesome because it's something that everyone wants to see happen, and we finally have people that are very prominent, people that are very aware of what's going on in the system. We have people that have actually experienced the injustices. And we have an audience that's awaiting to hear all of these stories and hear all of these things that are now coming out, finally being revealed. And hopefully some things are going to be able to be done about it, because it can't go on forever. We've been under oppression for many, many years. And most of it has been because we do not come together in unity the way we should to actually build on our population of people of color. We're up against a lot of oppression, and especially in this day and age, and we need to do something about it. We need to come together. We need to start planning and preparing of our own abilities and how we can go about working against these injustices as a unit, as a multi-unit of people of color.
Sister Leona, can I explain how we're doing it in the Afro-Descendant Nation Confederated?
If you can, please.
Yes. People of color have distinctive statuses and rights and claims under international law because they came before the colonizers. The apparatus that the United States uses by recognizing some of us and not recognizing the Afro descendants, as well as some of the Indian tribes, have caused people to have a loss of identity. Identity is one of the most precious human rights. The right to an identity, the right to choose your nation, right to re-choose your nation and nationality. All of these are international questions. And what we've done is we put together a confederation. And a confederation is a structure that the indigenous people used since Hiawatha. This was used by the five Indian tribes of the Iroquois. And the indigenous people of the United States used a confederation, because when you talk about unity, you're talking about bringing all of our tribes together, because we have distinctive tribes. But for us to speak with one voice, there's a structure called a confederation in which we send each one of our tribal, one of our tribal members to the national body so that you have a strong nation, because the confederation is a form of a nation. And so when we do that, we take it from the domestic situation where we have no remedy in their courts or in their congresses. We take it into the international courts where we can be able to obtain our recognition, obtain our rights to an entertain our separate benefits that we have in America's. One is the right to identity. The other one is the right and resources over land. A lot of these issues that we're talking about are land issues and recognition issues and identity issues. Even the sister Marilyn Coburn is talking about an identity issue. That's a human right. So in your case, if you can't get any recompense from the Social Security Administration or anything, I would take that to the Department of the Interior and then take it to the international arbiters of that because that's a pertinent right for you. But for myself, with the large amount of Afro descendants, 45 million of us, and for my brother from the indigenous people, the indigenous tribes that are unrecognized and being suffocated by the United States, our remedy is for us to make an agreement between our tribes to protect each other from mutual confederation. Because in our tribe, we have, I'm an international law professor and lawyer, so in our tribe we have other international law professors and lawyers that can bring our issues before the international bodies, because you can't get any remedy from the whites that have implemented the harms. It just doesn't. They've implemented the harm, so how can we go to their courts or their offices and expect any remedy from them? So by cooperating in an agreement, we go to the international court. And in the international court is a very positive court for us, because they recognize indigenous people's rights. And our rights in the United States go back a long time. And so before the colonials, just 400 years ago. So their rights in international sphere is as a belligerent occupier. They have very little rights to the land and remedies that we've been giving them, because we just didn't know that there was an alternative way to do this. And so my suggestion is for myself and Chief Fanuka from South Dakota is for our tribes to continue to talk and to come to an agreement, because we can bring your matters before the international court. That's what we do with lawyers. We just filed an action against the United States so that we can self-manage the coronavirus, because it's killing us at 3 to 4 times the rate of the general population. And that's before the court. And we plan to put a lot of measures before the court, because we have these extended rights of being native to the Americas as well. So that's my suggestion. Those are my suggestions, and I yield the floor for further discussion.
You know, if I may add on to what Brother is talking about, you know, the inalienable, you know, behavior of the natural and human rights has been construed by America's capitalistic control. And I call it capitalistic control,
yes.
But the real meaning and name to it is bondage. It's a Bible term. That's where it all came from. So as long as our people today are faced with all these, you know, attributes and retributes that come from how America has always practiced and perfected colonial policy to neutralize, you know, human rights, we'll never ever have the privacy through our own hearts beat to implement more of the dignity of freedom that we have by human rights control. It's mainly an opposite side when people think that because of, you know, Caucasian people give you a social security number, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs gives you an enrollment number. And then when you are born into this country of mine, you know, when you're a fetus and you're conceived from your parents, they give you a immunization number. All of these things that are inhuman. This is the quest for people to really look at the infringement of why the human liberty is being construed by tyrants, meaning America, you know, whether they're state, county, federal, tribal, you name it. They're all in that, even through Christianity. Now, for a majority of the people that are implementing the products of what we're all talking about tonight, the grave misconception and the privileges that belong to white America, they forgot one thing. They forgot that throughout the course of history, from every president, if you can go all the way back to 1786, these presidents all did something to infringe upon the American Constitution that was given to them from the Iroquois Confederacy of the Six Nations. So the opposite control to that created a chaos where corporate controls took over by violating every human right and civil rights that give no protection to anyone through free speech and otherwise. Don't ever forget what this law enforcement had done, because America has always been, and it's going to continue to get bigger, has always been a colonial police state for the rich, not the poor. So the opposite control that we must do, as the brother was saying, we have to take it from an international level to file complaints with all the world countries about the injustices being inflicted upon us by the federal, state, county, and city governments, and now even tribal governments, because none of them have the foundation of that positive dignity that protects your human rights. And those are the things that were implemented from William Penn in the Great House of Britain. These are the common goals that people continue to proclaim, but the necessity to plea in every infringement violates human liberty. And so, just as food for thought, and like brother did, I will it back to you, Sister Leona, and thank you.
Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from Madeline? Bryce?
Well, actually, listening to what I'm hearing, this is sort of the path that I've been on for the last 4 years, doing a lot of research. I'm just to the point of trying to understand of how to correct the status of my name. The name that I'm listed as deceased in is my ex-married name. My maiden name is what is not affected, but I couldn't go back to the maiden name because the courts have wanted me to prove my divorce, and that's been since 1996. So I just recently got those documents, but the hard part that I'm having is I'm born in Missouri, but I'm now recently in Tennessee. Missouri is the ones that's giving me the runaround. And I've never had to go before a court to get a court order that's called an existence of life. I've never heard of that. I don't even know why they're trying to make me prove that I'm alive when they're talking to me. So this, I've been getting a lot of misinformation, but I've been led back in the pathway of what Dr. Sari and the gentleman is saying, Canupe, in regards to the tribalization. This is what I'm looking into. I've even gone as far as getting my DNA. I've never thought to even go this pathway, but I found a lot of deception on this journey when it comes to being here in the United States versus a federal citizen, a U.S. citizen, a national. It's just so much that they have deceived the people in regards to, and this is what I'm finding in the documentation that I have. And I've gone as far as the local level, state level, even so much into dealing with Bush Jr., Barack Obama, and Donald Trump. These are three presidents that I've brought this issue to that never did anything. Donald Trump got the Social Security Administration to call me on a special appointment. They never corrected the matter. It led to Josh Hawley, who is my senator in Missouri, which he's so much under fire right now with people want him to resign. He's not even dealing with the issue. So I know government is not the pathway. There had to be another pathway. And on this call tonight, I know that there will be some continuation of conversation because I'm interested in knowing how to correct the status. And even if so much with all these atrocities that I've, hardships that I've suffered, being in bondage these 14 years, being listed as dead in the Department of Homeland Security, Internal Revenue Service, and the Social Security Administration Death Master Files. This has been my problem since 2007 that got me kicked out of Webster University. So my whole life and existence has been wiped out, and I've been having to prove who I am in regards to documents that they've created. that are artificial documents as an artificial person. That's not me.
I'll tell you another thing with this oppression and suppression is that I've been blocked at times from Facebook. I've had postings that I'm putting out there so that people can be more aware of all of these issues. And I recently had gotten in the email stating that someone had tried to tamper in my account and I had to change my password. When I changed the password, it was asking for a generator code, which I could not give them because I couldn't get into my account. So they asked me to submit some kind of identity. So I uploaded my driver's license, only to find out, I don't know if this is Facebook or not, but I ended up finally having to create a new account. Then I got in my email, it was supposed to be from Facebook Security, stating that I needed to give more information and identity, and I didn't do anything with it this time. I just let it go. But this is our way of their way of trying to oppress us, trying to suppress us, keep our awareness from the public, from others. They do all these things. They don't want us to get out what we need to get out, to let everyone know that we are fed up. We are finally fed up with what's been going on with our government, with the things that are going on in this country. Now, Chinupa Guhamani and also Dr. Ansari both have mentioned in the past the United Nations, taking it to the United Nations, you know, and international court. This is what really is needed, and this is why it's so good for me to have all of you talking about these issues together in unity, because the suppression has to stop.
Well, I've come across a lot more of individuals like myself that have ended up after CNN did the interview that led me to find other people that was in the same situation that did not know that they were listed as deceased until they went to try to go vote. You know, so I know that this is a national security breach. That is why they're avoiding it in Congress to not even want to talk about it. But I do have documentation of how it happened, and what they've ended up doing is giving me a second Social Security number and putting it under the Congressional Randomization Act, which you can't do anything with that number. It's a number you can't even pull up. It doesn't belong to a state. The first three digits is 656, and I didn't realize until I start reading the Palms Manual of Social Security Administration to understand what their laws are in regards to their procedures. And the first three digits of any social indicates the state it was issued from. But 656 doesn't have a state. So I don't know what the hell they've done. I just know that it has caused a great hardship, that this situation needs to get outside of the jurisdiction of the United States of America and somehow does need to get in before the international courts, if that's even possible. I mean, with the way things are going right now, I think it is prominent time that if I could find a way after this call, maybe making some connections with you guys, to find out how I can move in that direction, because this is something that is very much needed. It's not just myself. I've realized that there's others, but I can only speak of my hardship and documentation that I've gathered over the years that prove my case. I've even gone before the Missouri 8th Circuit District Court, and one federal judge recused himself of my case. It was a tort claim I filed. Because of the standard form 95 with the Social Security Administration, I had to go that route for them to approve me to even get a right to sue letter. But the judge recused himself. I then got a magistrate judge. He never responded within 30 days. And I got a third federal judge. He closed the case and sealed it. And so, therefore, I don't even know what's going on at this point. Why would they even do that when I'm trying to proclaim my status? But I had a lot of documentation. I didn't realize that through my Social Security card, I traced the information through my research through Fidelity and found out through its CUSIP number, it's worth $100 million on that card that goes to the Federal Reserve Bank in St. Louis, Missouri. I mean, these are all questions that I needed answers to, that how is it that these millions of dollars is being traded through the GMEI utility database of foreign accounts under LEIs and nobody's talking about it? This is financial data that I have on myself that is happening to all Americans that's been issued a federal district Social Security number. This is a national security breach. They're stealing estates. That's what they're doing.
If I may jump in here and, you know, answer the young lady some of her strong questions about how, you know, these colonial concepts work and why she's being deprived of all these necessities as that human being. And bear with me on this one. Many years ago, our ancestors never, ever understood English. We couldn't even talk it. And putting on, you know, white man's clothes was a new experience for us because we did away with our moccasins, and now we use all these, you know, hand-me-down, you know, government-issue rations of clothing and smallpox blankets. But the thing that I wanted to express to you more on an open of a, you know, independent structure. Now, I and the young man that's on there with you tonight on tonight's show have been leaving out certain, you know, entities like how, you know, judges in every state are supposed to implement more of that strategic measure to help protect those human rights, okay? Governments are established. I don't care if they're county, reservation, state, and the federal, okay? These governments are to establish themselves to protect the rights from, you know, the stronger forces. That's the weak people, okay? So these are principles that were established by legitimate governments that claim to have, you know, a value of a work ethic to help, you know, people improve conditions they lived in, especially we indigenous people. And the reason why I express this openly to you, the reason why they keep blocking you, young lady, and I'm going to only use that as a paraphrase to outline this understanding. You need to go back into the way it used to be, where, you know, the game of tic-tac-toe was the issue of signing. Okay, X marks whoever was, you know, being accepted into meeting with people in government forms long, long time ago. This is, we're talking time immemorial. So you and I weren't born. We just got here. So to hence laws and statutes that violate human rights, which are natural rights that are Earth Mother, the great mystery, the trees, the animals have given us, we've been stripped from that. And that's one of the biggest necessities that I just explained in how we are losing our freedom at the heartbeats level because of all this entrustment. See, a good example, young lady, distrust is stronger than trust itself, okay? So this is why, you know, the federal government's used that as a pronunciated agenda of a speech to neutralize tribal governments because sovereignty is only a biblical word from the Bible, okay? And that has limit constitutional values, okay? That's true. Let's just put the word out there. When you have independence, independence came from the great mystery, Mother Earth. They did not regulate the animals, let alone human beings. They didn't do that. It was civilized and modern man that done that through the education field. So vegetation and education is it's an incurable disease, vegetation of education. Why do I call it that? Because there's no meat in both words. There's no meat. Well, we were all meat eaters. Meat eaters. Insects still eat meat. And even though they have the thirst for vegetation, they'll still do that to survive and keep their independent structure. And when you look outside during the spring times, all the animals and the insects still get along as that independent unit. This is how we got away from human rights. That's why we have mass incarceration. The beetles, the ants, the centipedes, the inchworms, you name it, all these insects did not incarcerate each other. They didn't put anybody in jail because they all had a mutual independent structure to restrain behavior and violence amongst themselves to pass freely every day. And this is how Native people, my African brothers and sisters, and many other tribes from different continents done the same thing according to the animals because we believed in our supernatural power that the great mystery had bestowed upon us as
an independent, free people. This is where we violate that because we are being called John Henry, Mike Lewis, Chief Wahoo McDaniel. And remember, I'm only using these words as a figure of speech to describe it. Until we break that concept of being monopolized and imperialized by white think, then and only then can we regain our truthful identity. This is why Social Security numbers don't work. This is why enrollment numbers don't work. This is why immunization don't work. These are grave human rights violations, and it's never been tested before the international courts because we keep getting blocked. Everybody, it's just like I disagree with the brother. I really do. Well, he said we had to take the measures to the Interior Department and people that represent, you know, the federal government. I disagree because the federal government just got here too. This is my point. When you have independent structure, okay, unchecked power is the foundation of tyranny. Let's just put that out there. But when you have liberty and the power of honor, guess what? It's the people that lead you, and that's what we got away from. So the oppression of how, you know, federal government, state, tribals, county, and city government, they've been bastardizing this behavior as a worthless restraint of power to legislate over the rest of humanity. No one wants to blame them. Nobody wants to talk down to them because the Caucasian race in my country, I hate that crass term America, there's no such thing. In Turtle Island, the white race will talk you to death, and he'll blame you for doing the same thing. That's that unchecked power. And so until you revert back to your traditional identity and you quit researching where you came from, then and only then can freedom of that independence work and set you free. That's what's been happening to all the winged creatures, the four-legged, the insects, they're still living free, trying to get the rest of the two-legged people to get their heads out of the behind and free themselves from bondage of this control. That's where, and when you go to the monetary existence, mammon has always been a tool to infringe upon people through government numbers. And even in their Bible predicted that too. 666, the number of the beast, okay? Well, America is the belly of the beast. And it creates sociological diseases every year that comes out to neutralize people's mindset to connect back to the freedoms of independence. Those are grave violations. So I am confident as an oppressive person that still lives in poverty, that still fights for human rights to free my brothers and sisters that are captive in all these colonial prison camps, we're still in prison here on every said Indian reservation in this country of ours. We're still in prison. The only problem with it, there's no barbed wire. There's no machine guns pointing at us. Okay? We're still in prison. That's why we have prisoner of war camp 344 is Pine Ridge's number. And every other reservation has the same thing. Now, let's wipe the slate completely clean. Until our people get back into freedom of that and quit talking like the Wasichu people, meaning the white race, this is how you stop mammon from increasing the amount that they keep using you for a cash flow, which is true. The lady just researched on her own, vendetta. And I love that because mammon, meaning money, okay, folks? Mammon is the way people neutralize. Remember, long time ago, every tribe of color had a trade commodity, okay? And those were animal pelts or whatever thing was necessity that different tribes did not have, but it was a necessity to their survival, okay? So before coin metal got here, which was created from, the Greeks, Mesopotamian, Mediterranean, the Romans, all of them, those were coin and jewel metals, okay? So if the white race in particular had left indigenous people and many others of color alone, we can prosper with that independence and survive continuously with the full natural rights of the independent structure. And I'm only using this English language to describe it. I don't like using it because it lies. There's no honor in it. It makes you mad and you want to kill. That's the white man's language. And it does exactly that. Take a look at outside. Look at all the animals that are being destroyed by the white race. They would see a rabbit cross the road, and they'll turn and run it over. And I got him. That's the white man. You see, that man has lost his soul because he, at one time, was a spiritual man. And he gotten away from that because they killed their spiritual leader. But many other people of color have never, ever destroyed their spiritual leader. They're still here taking care of our responsibilities as freedom-thinking people of the independent structure that was given to us by our grandmother, the earth, and the great mystery above. And that's how you make long stories like that very short to answer questions for the young lady. And until she gets back into her full identity and where she originally came from, that's when your learning journey to get back on the red road begins. Back to you all.
You know, I would just like to say one thing. I noticed in this country, if people don't hear what they want to hear, they kind of like avoid it, or they kind of like back away, or they kind of like clam up. They don't. I admire you for your strength and your assertiveness and somewhat aggressiveness, because this is what's needed. I find in this country, they don't. It's almost like it's the United States. Okay, if they find a problem with races or different cultures or whatever, well, perhaps they should go back to the country, you know, because you can't take everybody out of the United States and just leave one race or one culture here. So for those that have a problem with any culture or any race, they need to go back to their country. Another thing I would like to know, and I would have asked Dr. Ansari, but I believe he dropped, is that if they don't want the blacks in this country, or the browns, or the beige, or whatever in this country, why don't they let these prisoners who make up the mass incarceration, why don't they let them go back to Africa or the Middle East? Why keep them in prison when they don't even want them here? Why keep them caged and keep the prisons full when they can reduce the prison population by letting these prisoners decide for themselves if they want to be in the country where they feel that they their roots are? These are some issues I find. I know the Native Indians, they were here first, so they can't go back to another country. But for all these others that are of color, and the white man doesn't want them here, perhaps they need to send them back to their roots, and then it will be just the whites and the tribes to work things out. This is what I find more logical than anything, because again, this is the United States, and if the people in this country, the Caucasians, the whites that have a problem with the Indians and have a problem with other races, then they need to go back to their countries. That would simplify everything. We have a caller, 1440.
Yeah, it's Bryce. Inwood from South Dakota. I'd like to make a couple of comments, you know, because everybody always draws a line in the sand, you know. And a lot of people have their head in the sand, compromised, you know, put humanity in there. But we have things happening on, I guess the key word would be whistleblower. Now you have whistleblowers, let's say Snowden, that revealed a lot of Uncle Sam looking over your shoulder and looking into your living room and recording you. So he brought that out, and plus other national security issues, supposedly, you know. So you have a U.S. Congress, congressional men and women who allow freedoms to melt away through legislation. That who created that legislation? And yet, you know, if you look at that as a problem, legislation created by in D.C., that limits your freedom. So then you have these whistleblowers that usually, one that really impressed me was an elder white man, and he's a scientist, and talk about space exploration and using your intelligence to look at other planets and to try to make a manned flight to land on that planet and see if you can inhabit that planet. And now more than ever, you know, that individual was an atheist and supposedly born again, believing in the creator, like the sun. You know, the sun gives us life and warmth, and without the sun, we would not exist. And they come to a higher power, and then they reflect what the intelligence is doing, and they tell the bad side of it. Just like the oil and gas industry in the 60s and further back, when Rockefeller, that name, you could say Rockefeller Medicine, created in the early 1900s, because they had this money, they start having power. And that power eventually is a mixture of greed, because they have so much money, billions and billions of dollars. And then we have a country that looks at that at one time for the last maybe 40 years, where you want to be a billionaire, a millionaire. So you have, back to D.C., you have elected officials, 100 senators and 300-plus House of Reps. And now them themselves are being millionaires also, millionaires and attorneys. So if we look at the root of the problem, because the root of the problem is man, the most invasive species on the planet, can't learn to change his attitude or change his way of life, and continues on the path of destruction by pollution, destruction by war, and destroying what is out there for free. It's all free. Free energy, cures for cancer, all the stuff that is free to humanity. They put a patent on, they put it in a lock box and locked it up and have the patent on it. This is a failed system, you know. Why is the system, why is the people allowing a system like this to continue? The Federal Reserve Act of 1913, it created the international banking cartel. Money from nothing. We put the burden on the taxpayers of America. Now it's like $30 trillion. How much of that is scam, you know? Scam to these same billionaires and the poor guys, the poor people, which is everybody's almost in that bracket now, because you have probably 1%, they call it, but that 0.0001% that's controlling everything. You know, I disagree that, you know, all the secret societies, there's no more secret societies. It's all out in the open. The Space Force, the deep underground military bases, what's in the vaccines, the dark matter experiments going on, breaking into dimensions, and there's an evil force there that's has some dark intentions, you know. So what are the big issues that we need to have, you know? And I think one that we should all push for is public disclosure. And award the whistleblower, the guys on the inside that know what's going on. a lot of them come to an age where they know they're going to physically die. So they make peace with themselves and say, well, I'm going to reveal this because I know they'll probably kill me, but it don't matter now because mankind needs to know the truth. Well, that's where it's always been, you know. We need to know the truth. And if you take over the U.S. Capitol and you're going to impeach a president that was creating a Fourth Reich here in America and creating a Nazi Gestapo, letting the Nazi flag and the Confederate flag fly freely, you know, that element now is out there exposed. Why don't they come to grips and bring the truth out, you know, these elected officials or so-called leaders of governments?
You know
war is unreal now. You know, war is unreal. But the way they have stealth and exotic weapons that are being deployed now, you never hear about that. You know, why? Well, why aren't we talking about these things that are going to affect the health of humanity? So we have a 1868 treaty that was filed to the International Court of Justice back in 2001. And I heard the doctor mention that. But, you know, every treaty has been broken. Even the Outer Space Treaty has been broken. So, you know, when they bring up a treaty, I think the people need to understand what is a treaty, you know. What is that? It's an agreement or it's a contract. You hear all these things, but according to the U.S. Constitution, it's supreme law of the land, and judges have to adhere to that. So, you know, you talk about a justice system and you talk about the most imprisoned people in the United States on the planet because of legislation. You know, and because of the duality of justice here in America, again, going back to legislation, who makes the laws? So if you don't influence the laws and you keep putting in these individuals that work for international corporate banking cartel, then they're perpetrating all of this bad stuff that's going on, all this pollution, all these things that are going to create health problems. So
you know,
we get to that point. My brother,
we spend a lot of time. We already know the problem. We try to figure out, or I hopefully will try to get people that can figure out a way to move forward. A lot of this stuff goes way, way back to the beginning. And this is an example as well as to why we are not successful in our goals to make changes. Because when someone does not hear what they want to hear, they drop off. They completely distance themselves. This is a problem we just had tonight on this show. Then we have people out in the communities, the same thing. If we're having discussions and somebody disagrees on the discussion, they don't move. They don't walk away. They face it head on. So we have what you're talking about with the president, the former president. You know why he had all those millions of people on his side? As bad as he was for a lot, as much as I disagree with everything he did and what he was all about, he was aggressive. He was assertive. He was a leader. And those followers believed in him because they needed some leadership. In the goal of uniting cultures to come together to work on these issues in a unified way, we have to expect disagreement. We have to accept someone to say, well, I disagree with you, brother, or I disagree with you, sister. Let's head on and try to resolve it so that we are both on the same page. This is a problem in our country. We ourselves are our own worst enemy. I don't care if it's red. I don't care if it's black, brown, or beige.
We have this going on
across the country. They are determined that it's their way or no way at all. And if they all come together, they don't don't agree, then work on it till they do agree. Because that's the only way that we're going to be able to overcome the injustices. As I said, injustices anywhere is injustice everywhere. That's the only way we're going to overcome these injustices. That's the only way we're going to be able to fight back. That's the only way we're going to reduce mass incarceration. But everybody wants to be, if it's not their way, it's no way at all. And that's sad. That's the white man's way of thinking.
Thank you.
Can I get up in there? Thank you.
Please.
Yeah, there's a warrior that said if we go out there and do these things, they'll just go by and drop the bomb on us. And he pulled out a pen, and he said, this is the way we fight now. So how many U.S. citizens or state citizens or tribal citizens even know the document that's governing them? It's called a constitution. You know, how many know it? If they don't know it, then they violate it. Or they make a law up that creates prosperity for themselves, but not for the whole. So nowadays, you have things in writing. And if you don't adhere to writing or laws or regulations, then where are you, you know? And if you just by word of mouth and you die, then all those empty words are gone now. Unless somebody wrote them down, you know, and still live by it. So it's very important to know what governs each government. And probably more than 90% haven't even read them. You know, even probably the elected officials themselves haven't read them, memorized them. Some do, you know, some do. And they see the weaknesses in law. So you can have a president that could go to war illegally, you know, go against 7 Muslim countries and create a refugee problem. Even what the United States does down in Central and South America by war, by killing civilians. So it creates a refugee that moves towards where they put little children into cages. And this is America we're talking about. Indigenous people, indigenous families, kids, children in cages separated from mother and father. And yet you have a man that waves a Nazi flag and creates an element here of hatred that these guys live on, that fly these Nazi flags and Confederate flags and, you know, represent hate and war.
I am sick of hearing about the Nazi flag.
They condone that, but now they're saying, well, it's God chose them. He's Osiris.
Worried about other countries attacking the United States. The United States don't have to worry about other countries attacking the United States because the United States is attacking the United States. Those people over in those countries are sitting back watching. They're probably even funding a lot of these oppositions in this country. Man is killing themselves in this country, and I want the white man to hear this as well. Man is killing themselves. The racism that's going on, the hatred. Okay, we have the Klan, we have the supremacists, we have all that. But we're killing ourselves as well because we can't even come together. No other country is going to attack the United States because they know the people of this country is going to attack their own country, kill off their own people, and they don't have to worry about attacking this country because we're all attacking ourselves.
Yeah, we better be aware of these weapons that are out there now, Star Wars weapons. We need to come together against nuclear war.
My sister, you know, let me jump in here and help you out here. And Bryce, purely look at this understanding, Bryce. Really look at this, you know, because now I'm getting heated. You know, every time when we have, you know, intellectual communications of sharing knowledge to each other, okay, we're always putting English first because of what America, I don't care about America. America needs to be handled by other countries that ain't afraid of it. It's this money existence, this mammon existence, because that's what puts the fear in people's hearts and minds, even no different to this COVID-19 corona crap, okay? But don't you ever forget this, Bryce, that during Bush's administration, Bush and Ashcroft, they created the 2001 Constitution Shredding Act, okay? So all of that stuff that they did illegally, this is what these people constantly do. That's why you see the mass incarceration rate of humanity, because people are trying to keep
their heart and mind freely open to what's surrounding them. As Sister Leona expressed, and as the brother that just got off and don't want to come on, if he felt offended, well, he's not really working for the United Nations and bettering it, to strengthen it, to give it a body that can really sit down and take complaints and charge other countries for what they're doing to humanity. Don't forget, Lithuania had their country revamped, and they used the independent structure. See, this is where information doesn't want to get back into the hearts of every indigenous person, no matter if you're red, yellow, white, or black, it doesn't matter. We constantly talk like white people, and we put all that energy there. All right, I'm going to shut it all down real quick. Umpetu kilet chokata kiataku lena wolak hote etchetka onius pok tekile wakhatka kakichi manetu wowashka kilena o speni chapi na nitsupi o hetaha o yate nitropi inana ate with nitropi lena o speni chapi wak hakile as isam hena yagluni na letu se eagna kabna ipach ilala na mila haska. Oashke ke he oikwake. O hena yanke. Uchi makhake na hakti wa blezikile. Oate tokta glena. O spechak yamna isian le woyukse you happy. To ho hena toni hetse. I mila haska tawo kiki ankata egna kabo kechne. Ho la kota ki hena hetse. Na le chalak is e wian ke le taku I woglake. We chakhe. Wana lechus e lila ata taku o wank kitchne. Istaku. Washteshni hunter once I'm gonna act the Nayun Yamna, let's use a kakpa upach papi. And I washteshni, toke le Milahaska takulena, yawapina, etchus eaganakab hunter. Toeni wiankilena le chazeki aikakap, ni toeni. Heuncha Milahaska tawo, hekilena, wianki topiki inila echaganakab, chaata, we chalked him. Which hoho ogna, while speaking in the hedges in Nazulaki, which how you see chapter Takuwa say in a voice Babuki. Oh, hey, now I'm going to turn it back into English to my little brother Bryce. I appreciate your knowledge of what you're saying. We know what the white man is capable of doing. I know what he's capable of doing. He's watching you right now the same way he's watching me and many others that are tuned in, okay? But we constantly bastardize him. Because he thinks that he's the power. He's not the power. Okay? The power, if you believe in the spiritual, natural form of living, that's the power, the great mystery, the earth mother, all the winged creatures and animals, insects, otherwise. What we're getting away from is understanding the togetherness that we all can have to free ourselves from this bondage if we believe in one direction. The white man put all these directions upon us, and we follow him. And you know that. You all know that. You join his military, you join his tribal government, you do everything, but you're not creating a preventive justice that helps your people. That's why I get angry. So
let me say something now, man. Let me say something to answer.
Hold on. Let me finish. You're going to finish. But see, this is what I'm talking to you about, okay? Hold on. Let me finish, okay? And then I'll come up there one day if you guys will. Not open your, if you open your reservation, I'll come see you. We'll sit down. We'll talk about this man to man, okay? And really listen to what I'm saying. Well, every time when you feel threatened by English, okay, when those people are treating you like that on your reservation, that's how you need to turn that energy on, okay? I'm not telling you what to do, but you're in a seated position as a council member. But when you constantly keep putting the wherefore and attention for them, I don't care about the white man. I know what he can do. And he's still doing it as we're breathing right now. But the problem,
there's a change coming that you're not talking about.
Hold on, let me finish, Bryce. Okay? This is why I respect you so much. That's why I don't interfere you like that, okay? You just lost your mother, young man. Have that type of dignity and honor for her and allow your anger go somewhere else. okay? This is Wisconsin here. We all went through that. We all went through that. I lost my mother. I lost my grandmother, okay? And I lost my daughter. But I'm not going to take that energy and put it against my own people. The problem is the white race. That's where the problem is. And it's his way of life that keeps destroying us. As the sister said, we have become more divided than pulling together, no matter what the topic is, because we're like him, because we all want to have an answer. I don't want to have an answer for you. I don't want to have an answer for anybody. What I have is the answer to hold him accountable, and that's the direction we need to go. I will never serve the white man. I will never work for him because I've tried it. He kept taking everything from me. So now I give it back to him and stay away from him. And guess what? It works. He'll leave you alone. That's the accomplishment, and that's where the energy lies, because once our people free themselves from that, if millions of people that are part of this institution of workmanship through unemployment structures, no matter if it's the internet and all this stuff, these companies, if all the people would walk out of these big establishments, this whole country would die immediately. They would have no workforce. But capitalistic control does this to everybody. And that's what you should know. When they gave you an opportunity to swear allegiance to that American flag, you all took it. I didn't. I did not do that, and I never will do that, because that's our mortal enemy. That's why we can't come to mutual terms and help one another. We can't stand together, because we want to all have an answer like the white race, and that's what's happening today. Take a good look at our black brothers and sisters, what that white man did to him. Took his land away from him, took his from his own land, took his language, and took his name. That white man did that to him. So how do you expect the white man to give all that back to the black race in our country? How is he going to do that? Well, he's even doing that to us now. And now we got to create native curriculums in schools to bring it back. It'll never work until we go back to the traditional way of the earth and the great mystery and the earth we bring in and the waters that flow here. When we start getting back there, hey, that's when the independence of freedom begins. It frustrates me that we have to go into those matters. So now I'm going to give it to you on behalf of my sister. I hope I covered some of that for you, sister, but you're right. We have become divided. We cannot come together no matter what the talk, because we're putting the might of America first. I don't want to do that. That's what separates us, because everybody believes I never served a white man. I never have and never will. I never will, because I'm going to die this way. And if I die alone, so be it. But at least I'm doing something to help my people get out of captivity of that bondage. Back to you, sister.
Thank you, Chinupa. I want to say I'm sorry for your loss, and also your loss of your mother, Bryce. I really am sorry to hear that.
Leona,
right?
Leona,
yes.
You mentioned something about the unity, and we're fighting, you know, crabs in the bucket, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, frogs or crabs in a bucket, and keep pulling each other down, you know. Well, I'm kind of like on the inside looking out and then on the outside looking in, and been working at this for like 25 years, what I'm doing here on a reservation, on our lands. And everything that in America from north to south is indigenous, everything. Even these findings, you know, like these pyramids or these gold plates or, you know, whatever they find is indigenous way before this migration, you know, immigration came in, you know. And it's true now what our people said, you know, here where I'm from, we have four bands here, and we're at that part where we're at a cliff now. And this was foretold a long time ago. It was told to us. And a lot of people just kept it quiet, and they died with it. They're not here no more. Some of us are getting a little older, and we heard that, what's going to happen. So us guys are going to see it. We're going to see what these old guys said is going to happen. And it's going to happen to our beloved land here. We don't want that to happen. It's got to end. It's got to stop. So if we don't unite, if we don't pull together, then you know, it, we're going to go down with this country. You know, so how do we make something, at least happiness and strength and good health. You know, that's all we can create is happiness, strength, and health. Then that's what we need to work for. Maybe those three things could pull us together, you know. Like, I understand the broken and the you know, I understand all of that, you know, because I've been trying to pull together even our bands, you know, that we have here. We had that together. Now we're trying again, you know, and these times are different. So I'm trying to figure out how do we pull together, you know. If you know Ola Kota, then there's no color, you know, and that heart beats red. Just like, you know, every race, that heart pumps that red blood and blue blood. So if you understand the blue and red, it's within us. The sacredness, it's within us. That's where we need to wake up. That's where change can come. If we don't wake that spirit up for change, then there's another spirit, you know, that's been invoked in this country for so long that what you're talking about, all the people face that, you know, discrimination, hatred, and all this stuff, negativity. But I was just trying to bring out that at these levels of federal, state, and tribal officials elected, it's a failed system because it's two-legged, not relying on a greater greater power, you know, and that's why there's a failure there. And it is spiritually grounded that we should expect from leadership, if they call themselves leaders. You know, we had a black president the first time. Did some good things, you know. He told his 13 secretaries to come up with some tribal Indian policies. You know, every one of you have some tribal policies in place. First time ever. You know, now you have some change here with Biden realizing that they created a law back in the 1990s where there was 300,000 in prison, and it went jumped to 3 million because of that 1994 law. Now he has to make amends and make it right now. You know, now he's the president; he can do that. That's what I'm trying to bring out. You know. And I could get specific.
Okay, can I give you a little
something? Those individuals are there. They can make the change now, you know. But if the people don't push these elected officials and push them hard, you know, we got to end this corruption. That's the bottom line.
Someone started to say something?
Yes, this is Jabril calling from Michigan. How's everybody tonight?
How you doing, Jabril?
Pretty well. I'm listening in. It's very interesting, all the different viewpoints. I wanted to give a response to the young lady, if she's still on the line, who worked at the prison.
Madeline, are you still
here? Yes, I'm still here, Jabril. I'm listening, Jabril.
Okay. You have a case, a very interesting case, which I have some experience with. What you are experiencing is a covert operation that's called the Eraser, where a person who is a member of the federal establishment, you're a member at some point in time, and you bucked the good old boy network, you went against the system. So what they did is they erased you, which is actually in your good favor. Why do I say that? Because Brother Tanupa just spoke about independence. And if you have ever read that constitution that they made, in the back of it, it's going to tell you, I don't have one handy right here, but in the back of it, it's going to, they made a complaint. And in that complaint, they said that the colonials here were complaining against the British Crown. And they were saying that the right of the human being ought to be free and independent. And every July 4th, the people here, they blow off firecrackers, shoot off guns, and cook food, and have family celebration, celebrating independence for this country, which is not really independence for them. They were refugees that came here, and we welcomed them we the inhabitants of Turtle Island, all the families and all of the clans and bands here and nations, welcomed them and gave them a home. Well, they flipped the script on us, and you are experiencing a military operation called Eraser. And they do this to many people because we involved with law and things. We've seen this before. But they actually done you a favor because you exist. You don't need nobody to validate you. When you came from between your mother's legs, the Creator, your mom, the earth, the animals, and all the other inhabitants, they bore witness to your existence. And we bear witness to your existence. You are who you say you are. They created a fictitious document and called it your estate. You put it in all capital letters, but you never spelled your name that way, ever. Or have you?
No, never.
Okay, so they took your name that your parents gave you, and they duped them into selling you for free. They took this document, and they made you this commercial entity. Well, they created it. You could create one, create another one. Create your own, because your affidavit, your signature is your seal. Your red thumbprint makes the document live. You can put it in the international water. Create your own document. You are independent. You don't, unless you want to be a minor and have an overseer or a parent always take care of you. That's what a government is, a service corporation. United States is a service corporation for all of the 50 nations that they have fictitiously made that were territories. They made them municipals, they made them civils, they made all these different fictitious entities. All this is fictitious. It's an illusion. And you have to remove that thinking from your mind. That's a colonial indoctrination to make you subservient to something that don't even exist. So you are a real person. If you make a document who you are and you make that a public announcement in the public register or the public news for 10 days or so forth, who can rebut that? If nobody come with an affidavit rebutting point for point who you are, who can contest it? You make your own ID. You don't need them. You don't need anybody. But you keep begging. Why? Because they made it like a security blanket. We feel like if they tell you, oh, if you don't have this, then you can't eat, you can't this and that. Well, your provisions don't come from them. Your provision comes from the one that created you, and it comes from Mother Earth. Your food come out the ground. Your medicine come out the ground. Your spirit came from the Great Spirit. Your flesh is mud and earth. It came from the ground. Like our brother stated earlier, go back to your natural way, your natural ability. You have skills. You have talents. You have intelligence. You are one of the highest creatures. You are the higher creature here amongst all the other creatures. You are the vicegerent, the caretaker. You are the mother. You are the grandmother. You are the one who brings forth the life. Why do you need somebody else to validate you? That's independence. Remember, they came here refugees. Who gave them the Confederacy? Who gave them, as the first brother who was on, he stated, we have to have a confederacy. Well, we already have a confederacy when we stand together. When we all stand together, as Sister Leona was saying, support one another, take care of one another, look to one another's welfare. Love the neighbor like you love yourself. Don't go to sleep hungry if the guy next door ain't got no food. You know those kids next door, they don't have much, and they didn't eat. Well, share what you have and much more will come. Because that's the true way. That's the universal cycle. When we say independence, we are talking true independence. When you came from mom, no documents came out. You was free. So if you can understand that, and if you can understand it in on its fullest pronunciation, read the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Download it. Read it. Read the UN Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People and American Rights of Declaration of Rights of Indigenous People and the UN Declaration on the Civil and Political Rights. Download those documents. Read them. This is the consensus of all the people around the world who have something to say, those different countries, different, and we all one family. So if we stand together, anything you tie together, you can untie it. So when the people stand together, You can't untie that. So they've done you a great service. And all that you have worked and put into there, they erased that, but you haven't lost anything, believe me. Because everything that's written for you in the womb, you're going to have it. And you're a witness of it yourself. I'm just reiterating, because we all witness the same thing if we live on this planet long enough and we pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
As my brother stated, the road for us to be free from bondage, there's no chain on your hands and feet. They've threatened you with poverty. They threaten you with you can't have it. Oh, if you don't get this star on your membership card, which they call a license, which ain't no license because it's an invalid contract that you got duped into. Where's the two signatures? Where is the consideration? When you make a deal with somebody, there's a consideration in between. All those other things that go along with that license, going to jail, going to court, getting your car towed away, you didn't even see that part of the agreement. It's called adhesive contract, where they got another piece attached to it that you never even saw. So the whole show is illusion, is fraud. So if you keep reaching in to get back in, they don't let you out the jail, but you want to get back in. Well, I just wanted to share that feeling, because when you were making that statement, it reminded me of some other people who we helped along the way. And this is what we do. We help people.
We have three and a half minutes.
I'm sorry.
We have 3.5 minutes left. So if Madeline, if you want to respond to that, or if you want to finish your statement.
Yeah, I mean, you gave great information, and I was sharing my story and my journey. But most of what you were saying, it's not enough time to even say all of the documentation that I've created on my own and affidavits and gotten filed with my Ecclesiastic Depot and other documents I created for myself with my fingerprint. So
right.
I'm on that path.
So,
I've already done that. This was hearing you out. We're on the same path. I'm there. I just had to share the beginning of what has happened and what I've had to deal with and where things are at right now with my stance in dealing with fictitious, artificial situation. It's about exposing the exploitation of what has taken place, not only to me, but others. And if I'm that vessel to be able to speak out, I know why this has happened. I've gotten death threats and everything. It's beyond what I just said in the beginning. I deal with prisoners and dealing with death row inmates. This is what has put a damper on me, because I went against the grain, which was the attorney general running for governor in 2008. And I ran against him to exploit him and all the things that he had done and continued to do in the state of Missouri. But it's a political stance, and you're right. It was intentionally done, and it was sort of in a situation of hidden hands. But through my technological and aptitude and what I know, I was able to do my research through AI and algorithms to find what I needed, and I have it. And I guess that's why the federal judges recused themselves, because I was putting it all out there.
Well, that's wonderful. So you are already on the road to independence. Just keep going forward, sister.
Look my name up. I dumped a whole lot of stuff out there in public disclosure. Yes. Madeline Coburn. You'll see a lot of PDF documents out there.
All right. Well, we're going to look you up.
I'd like to have you
if
all.
One
of these days, soon, we're going to be running out of time in about a minute and a half. But I'd like to pick up on this another time. We can work it out somehow. I know Chinupa, Luhan, you have your shows on Fridays and Saturdays. Maybe we can work some of this into that. I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
Yes. Thank you for having us. And, sister, hey, I got your back. Anything we need to do it together. That's no other way, man. We need to stand together on continuation of implementing these freedoms and independence. And thank you, sister. I love you. Great show. And I'll let you all go. Thank you. Aho.
Thank you, Leona.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night. Thank you for allowing us on the show, Sister Leona.
Thank you, too. Thanks, Bryce. All of you. I really appreciate you being on, and I look forward to another time when we can all come on in unity and talk about these issues. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Oh, peace.